two college radio DJs during the 90s. Hosts Keith and Steve helped expose bands like Nirvana, Pavement, and PJ Harvey. They went to shows, interviewed musicians, and reviewed albums for various zines and papers. They worked security at concerts and once even did load-in for Phish. Now they're dads. Whether you want to explore lesser-known music or take a trip down memory lane, tune into the New Dad Rock. Join hosts Keith and Steve as they navigate the ages together, sharing their love of music across various eras and genres. Always well-intentioned, often well-informed, seldom boring, the New Dad Rock will expand your mind.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the New Dad Rock. And as Keith so faithfully read, we're the New Dad Rock, and we're here to expand your mind.
Dude, have you had your mind expanded any time recently?
I have to tell you, just like a week ago, I did have my mind very expanded because I went to my first post-COVID concert. So I think I've mentioned a couple times, the last show I saw was December of 2019. I saw Phish randomly for the first time in 25, almost 30 years.
And where'd you see him? Where'd you see Phish?
At Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That place is still standing.
They revamped it a bunch.
Okay. That's where the Islanders play, right?
Not anymore. They have their own arena now that's being christened next month.
Is it in Uniondale or are they moving?
It's in Belmont.
Oh, is it the old Belmont racetrack?
Right there. That track is kind of a big deal. Oh, cool. It's part of the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, sorry. Yeah. So you saw a Phish right before COVID for the first time in 25, 30 years.
And so just this past week, I saw a concert live. It was Primus, who I happened to be one of the last bands that I saw because they were part of the Slayer extravaganza on their farewell tour. And as I've mentioned in the past, I think just the fact that Slayer retired, think about the timing, November of 2019, Slayer retires. When does COVID get out of the bag and start spreading around the world? I think Slayer was holding it back, man.
Might have been holding it back, but they certainly weren't responsible for the spread of it because they weren't touring anymore. So
no,
you can't blame Slayer for COVID.
I think they were the focus of evil in the world was around Slayer. And then once they retired, that focus of evil had to go somewhere and it boosted the virus.
Dude, this is like Ghostbusters 3. I like this.
Definitely.
Rain and Blood. See, you like that? I know stuff about thrash metal in the top four.
Well, Rain and Blood just had its 35th anniversary this week, too. So, congrats.
I wish I was 35.
I can't believe I've been listening to Slayer for 35 years.
Oh, my God. So, how was Primus?
Well, Primus, speaking of 35 years, I've been listening to them since the early 90s. So, we're, on 30-plus years with Primus. And they're definitely... Les Claypool is the artist I've seen the most live, mostly in Primus, but sometimes with other various incarnations, Frog Brigade, etc. But
what's the one where you they came out on stage as a monk at the supper club?
I think that was Les Claypool and the Holy Mackerel was that tour.
Oh, maybe you were at that show with me, right? The supper club in New York City.
Yeah.
Right on. That was amazing when they came out on stage.
Wonderful.
So
Les Claypool never disappoints. So it was fitting that the band or the artist that I've seen the most times in my life came out and was the first one I saw post COVID. And let me tell you, they delivered. It was so nice to be at a live venue amongst other people, seeing the music performed right there, hearing it, feeling it in your chest. And let me tell you, man, Primus puts on a great show. I know we've seen them together multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out, they did one set of, Primus' greatest hits. They haven't put out a new album in a couple years since the Seven, which was maybe 3 or 4 years ago now at this point. So their first set was Greatest Hits. And their second set was a complete album by Rush, A Farewell to Kings. Farewell to Kings, which has the all-time classic Xanadu, Closer to the Heart, and Cygnus X1, and three other incidental songs. But they came out, and their first set was Greatest Hits, they hit all the big ones.
Jerry was a race car driver. Those damn blue collar tweakers, probably Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver, Caesar Cheese, John the Fisherman, Tommy the Cat, right?
Well, they did John the Fisherman and Tommy the Cat in a really cool way. Didn't they do that
that was the encore.
Yeah, the encore. But at the same time, they did all these popular songs, like all the big hits that you know on MTV. And at the same time, they did another four or five deeper cuts, and they jammed those songs out. Like, you know, Primus was a running band through the late 90s, early 2000s. And then Les Claypool kind of went off and did his all Frog Brigade, Oysterhead, all that kind of stuff. And he kind of became a jam band. And when Primus got back together, as they did mostly for the last 15 years, side projects here and there sprinkled in. But they've become more of a jam band live than they were prior to the initial breakup in the late 90s.
Oh, well, for sure. Just as a musician, you've played so much together, you know, and especially the same songs. Like, you know them inside out. You're a jazz band at this point.
Yeah.
May not sound like jazz, but, like, you know your stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
So,
I was going to say, I like the set list sounding. Doing a cover album in the middle of, you know, it's two sets and an encore. That's great. I mean, the encore was five songs.
Well, the encore, they did, it was kind of a medley, which is very interesting because I've seen Rush a number of times going back into the late 80s. And one of the things that Rush used to do back in the day was they would have sections of the show toward the end where they would do a medley. You know, because some of Rush's songs are 10, 12, 15 minutes long,
right.
8 minutes long.
Yep, yep.
But they would mix in like three or four of them into an 8 minute jam and then come back full circle into the original song at the beginning. And it, you know, it really brought the house down. So for them to do that in the encore was quite incredible. And, you know, I was with Sung. He turned to me. And what was the song in the encore that they did it was the end of the first set. Do you have the set list in front of you?
My Name is Mud, Mr. Crinkle. Jerry was a race car driver. Went to a My Name is Mud reprise.
Yeah. So it was My Name is Mud. And then they kind of like...
Jerry was a race car driver.
Yeah, they broke off.
And came back to My Name is Mud.
Sung turned to me. He's like, wait, are they going to finish the song? So he totally caught on right away. And, you know, it was like... Once he said it, I was like, of course. Yeah, they have to. And that's how they ended the first set.
Yeah, in the encore, it turns out they did Putting Time as a tease between John the Fisherman and Tommy the Cat.
Yes. And some of those songs do sound, you know, they have a lot of similar progressions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, no doubt they could be in the same key. No doubt they're using the same chords or something. Like, no doubt. Like, it's like listening to Modest Mouse. It's, you know, similar patterns you have. I was going to say that I saw Drake a couple years ago. So, yeah, probably like 7 or 8 years ago in Oakland. And I feel he wouldn't do whole songs at all because he'd do like verse, chorus, and like, you know, everyone's jamming and then he'd just move on to the next one because he had so many songs to do. So I like the medley idea. Like, you know, 2 minutes of the song, you're so excited to hear it, but you don't have to listen to the whole thing. It's kind of like you're at home skipping ahead because you want to hear the next song so bad.
Yeah.
So medley idea is good for bands with lots of songs.
Yeah. And Primus is, they've been known to improvise. They've been known to mix things up, and you go all the way back to the beginning. Live is how they started. Their very first album was called Suck on This, and it was their live set. I think they recorded it over like two nights. Les Claypool, the bassist and leader of Primus, his dad put up some money and they recorded, you know, a seminal album that I think kind of in a way didn't necessarily change music but really helped push it in a direction. So, you know, kind of that whole mix of funk and rock and a little bit of rap, some sampling, that whole genre of music was coming through with the Red Hot Chili Peppers before them. And then Faith No More was coming through. And Primus was kind of the next in that. They were a little bit heavier, a little bit more on the metal side than the punk side. And that kind of unfortunately led us down the road to Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park, and you know,
that was many years later.
It was a few years later, but you know, man, back in the end of the 80s, 89, 90, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Faith No More, and Primus, they were really
you're missing possibly the biggest band right then. Right around the same time, Jane's Addiction's self-titled live album, their first album came out.
Right.
And along with Primus, you know, they were the then underground alternative metal genre.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and
they were the metal genre. Jane's Addiction and Primus.
And then there was Fishbone a little bit as well, because...
Yeah, party at Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. Fishbone's a wacky band, but we'll save that for another time, another era.
Yeah.
What's going on behind them, like at the live show?
You know, a lot of kaleidoscopic, almost trippy visuals.
Almost trippy?
it's almost trippy visual. You know, if there was the potential to flashback, you know, you kind of get sucked in, and it has the jam band. You're like following down the K-hole.
Yeah, I kind of feel that they do that for the band as much as they do for the crowd. Every show I've been at, there's imaging and lights everywhere. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
And they sound great.
Of course.
It's the original band back to the, like I said, Suck on This, the first album, Frizzle Fry, Sailing the Seas of Cheese, Pork Soda, right up through Tales from the Punch Bowl. Those first five albums, very similar to Iron Maiden, first five albums.
Check it out. So the songs they did, they didn't do any songs from the last three or four albums, which makes sense if it wasn't the original band that recorded them. They did two songs off Antipop, but everything else is from those four albums you just named, Pork Soda, Brown Album, Frizzle Fry, and Sailing the Seas.
Yeah, well, the Brown Album, already Tim Alexander, the drummer, had left by that point. That was the end of the 90s. That was, you know, rap rock had already started, and that was, you know, they were being pushed down the wrong road.
Dude, 10 years is a long time for a band, or even like 12 years, right? Like, you go from like maybe your mid-20s to your mid-30s, you might start having families and stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
I don't know. They were a seminal band, though, I think. And I think for a lot of people our age, they were, you know, that kind of alternative. Like, the early 90s, you went from the hair metal, that, you know, pop, sugary, Poison, Cinderella, White Lion, etc., Warrant, all those bands, they kind of fell on their face, and alternative music came through. And you mentioned Jane's Addiction. We talked about all of those bands, and that was when alternative was mainstream. The syntax doesn't make sense, but it's the feeling is there.
It was alternative because there was major record labels, and the only way to get distribution was through a record label back in the day, right? And like radio play, you needed to have payola, or, you know, the major record labels pushing you. But now with SoundCloud and the internet and YouTube and Bandcamp and all these things, it would be hard to say you're like alternative or underground or independent.
Well,
everyone's independent.
Yeah. Well, whatever it was, they broke through, and they were on Interscope Records eventually after their first couple albums, which is obviously a major player. But they became popular because they were in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. They didn't become popular from that, but they gained exposure.
What song was that?
They played Tommy the Cat. They were like the band right before when...
Before Bill and Ted's.
And so you...
Before the Wild Stallions.
Yeah. So you saw them play for a minute.
Totally. It's great.
And at that point, they already had a fervent Bay Area following. They had a solid album, Frizzle Fry, under their belt. I mean, Frizzle Fry, like, what a great album.
Dude, yeah.
I mean, seriously, go back and listen to that if you haven't heard it in 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, or if you've never heard it, Primus Frizzle Fry. Wow.
Is that the album you put people onto, or is it the next one?
The breakthrough was Seas of Cheese. And that was when they went to Interscope.
Jerry the Race Car Driver.
Yeah, Jerry the Race Car Driver. Tommy the Cat. Man, I remember that video. And I didn't really... I kind of knew the name Tom Waits, but I wasn't into Tom Waits at that time. But Tom Waits, also from the Bay Area, like Les Claypool, the North Bay, he played the voice of Tommy the Cat. And Tommy the Cat was already a song in their set list for years. It was on Suck on This, their first album. So now this is their third album, and they re-recorded it, you know, in a much better studio, and they had the wherewithal to get Tom Waits in there to play the voice of Tommy the Cat, like as he's strutting down the alleyway, like butter dripping off a hot biscuit.
That's amazing. I forget all these bands that came out of the Bay Area, like them and Metallica, Huey Lewis and the News. I mean, so many good bands. Not all the bands, but a lot of bands. you know, okay. Actually, you might be right. Frizzle Fry might actually be better. Oh, this is hard, comparing Frizzle Fry to Sailing Seas of Cheese. I mean, Too Many Puppies might be my favorite of all the songs.
Yeah. Toys Go Winding Down.
Yeah.
Oh. Frizzle Fry, Herald of the Rocks.
Yeah, John the Fishman. Did we say that already?
Defy the Law.
Putting Time.
Defy the Laws of Tradition. Is a Crusade. Only of the Brave.
Okay. Here Come the Bastards is amazing. I like American Life a lot. Jay Race Car Driver from Seize the Cheese, Tommy the Cat, those damn blue collar tweakers.
Fish on. I mean, you can't go wrong with either of these albums.
Like, in a drag down, knockdown fight, I think I'd pick.
I think I would take Frizzle Fry, man.
Yeah. Woo! Good for them. Yeah.
All right. So, yep. So what would be your third album?
It's either Suck on This, but it's a live album and it has some repeats of songs, but I think it would be Pork Soda, which I think is the one right after Selling Seeds of Cheese. And I think I'd pick Pork Soda because I remember the cardboard like CD case it came in, which was cool, and the bubbles and stuff. Yeah. But like, I think it's because it was the one I was excited for. Like, I kind of got into them probably when Selling Seeds of Cheese came out. So they already existed. Yeah. So probably Pork Soda was the first album by them I was excited by. But, you know, I know I've read that Antipop's supposed to be actually really good. So I actually needed to give that a listen. I haven't.
Yeah. So Pork Soda has My Name is Mud. It has Mr. Crinkle. It has the title track. It has a few other songs, DMV, Bob. You know, they're stacked. They have a lot of good songs. But for me, the next album, which was called Tales from the Punch Bowl, Wynonna's Got a Big Brown Beaver was the big hit off of that album. But it also has
Wait, that was on Tales from the Punch Bowl?
That was Tales from the Punch Bowl.
So the Brown album is when they're just totally gone.
They have a few good songs. All their albums have at least a few good songs. But I think batting average definitely sagged after the first five.
The on-base percentage starts decreasing.
Yeah, but Antipop, you're right. Coattails of a Dead Man, which is a collaboration again with Tom Waits. They do vocals together, trading off vocals on a song. I think is about talking about what a shitty person Courtney Love is. The Coattails of a Dead Man. She'll ride. She'll ride. She'll ride.
Mm-hmm.
But Antipop, it is a good album. I think it's better than the Brown album. It's probably better than the Green Naugahyde, which is a later album. Antipop had a lot of guest producers. Fred Durst, I know, was on there. In the last decade, they did Green Naugahyde, like I mentioned. They did a full cover of Rush on Tour. They did a full cover of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory album.
Yeah.
Which is it's kind of amazing.
Did you see the video? Have you seen that? Have you heard
it? I've heard the album, but I did not go to that tour where they played a bunch of it.
I don't blame
you.
Your kids were young too.
And then more recently, their most recent album is called The Seven, which is based on, I don't know if it's a children's book necessarily, but it's essentially a picture book about these goblins who steal color. As trippy as it sounds, and again, half of it is great, and the other half of it, you're like, it's Primus. I'm going to listen to it.
One thing I did with Primus when we were talking about doing an episode on Primus like months ago was every once in a while I go down this little rabbit hole of like looking up best albums by a band to see what other people say. And sometimes they're all over the place, especially for like bands that have lasted decades. But for Primus, it was, you know, Selling Seeds of Cheese, Visual Fry, Pork Soda, Tales from the Punch Bowl, and the Brown Album. So it's like literally the early set we're talking about. But their live shows have probably gotten better.
Absolutely. I would say that 100%. And the first time I saw Primus was 93-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Les Claypool in just about every incarnation. And I saw Primus in, call it 93, and I saw them in 2021. So it's a pretty big range and a lot of years in between.
What band have you seen the second most, or person or musician?
It's either Iron Maiden or Ween.
Okay. let's call it a tie. That sounds awesome.
Which is really funny because a couple of years ago, I remember I was seeing Iron Maiden I saw them at Newark on the Book of Souls tour, and I know Ween was playing in the city the same night. Like I had the Iron Maiden tickets first, but I was at the at the show, and I think I saw them three or four times on that tour. So and they play the same set list every time. So I was kind of like, I wish I was at Ween, because I haven't seen a lot of Ween. Totally. I haven't seen Ween though. I've seen Iron Maiden more in the last 10 years than I've seen Ween, unfortunately.
Well, I thought Ween broke up.
They broke up. They did break up around 2013 for a while, but then they've been back together. And I mean, it's very limited touring. I feel like they do 10 to 15 shows a year.
Yeah, I do feel we had this conversation possibly decades ago that we predicted Ween would be the stadium band in years to come because they could do any song.
Yeah.
Did they do Jump by Van Halen?
They did Jump. I don't know. They do a great version of All of My Love by Led Zeppelin. They do Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Such a talented band.
It's Billy Joel. Any Billy Joel song, even Aaron Freeman or Gene Ween looks just like him. Enough about Ween, I guess. But they're kind of similar to Primus. They came around at the same era. They were not considered that serious.
The singers, the voice is totally unique.
Yes.
Like, you know it's Les Claypool when he comes on, right. Just like you know it's Ween.
Well, you don't know it's Ween because Aaron has a range, man. He has a surprisingly good voice when he does every genre well.
Totally take that back. I just meant the first 3-4 albums, yeah. You know it's Ween.
You know it's
but Ween. You're right. After that, it could be anyone. Yeah. One time I got to see a free show. It was nice. I was at band practice with my friend Eugene and his girlfriend at the time, now wife, was worked at the ticket office for the Warfield. She worked for the main booking agent at all these venues, and they had extra tickets. So we were at band practice on Folsom and 7th Street, and we walked down, and I think at 7th Street is the Warfield. So we walked like 4 blocks after band practice, and we got to see a free Primus show. It was sick.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's just fun. Yeah. That's why one might live in a city. Yeah. So that can happen.
Hey, do you know what Primus has to do with the Beatles?
Did they cover Beatles song? No, what?
Les Claypool has covered Beatles songs, but that wasn't the relationship that I was thinking of. Is the Lennon-Claypool delirium.
Oh! Yes.
So
John
Lennon's son with Yoko Ono, Sean Lennon, who had a solo career. He had a few good albums.
He had one really good album.
It was one of the first releases on Grand Royal Records, the Beastie Boys record.
Oh, the Beastie Boys one. Uh-huh.
It was one.
That's right.
Into the Sun or Follow the Sun, something like that. It was a great album. Oh, it would have come out around 98. But Sean Lennon is the Lennon part, and Les Claypool is the Claypool part, the Claypool Lennon delirium. And they've put out 2 albums in the last 4 years, call it 2017, 2019, something like that. And, you know, it's a warped, jammier version of Primus, not as heavy as Primus would be, where you've got the basher at the Skins, Tim Alexander, and you've got that, you know, the guy who's in the band that invented death metal, Larry Lalonde.
Obviously, if they did 2 albums, like Sean and Les must get along terrifically.
Oh yeah,
right. Like
it's kindred spirits.
Les is only doing what Les wants to do. Yeah, exactly. And you were right. It was Into the Sun, S-U-N, but I like that. You know, as the first album with Sun in it. But it was 1998, so I don't know how you know any of these dates. You're kind of like the Rain Man.
I saw Les. I think it was either his birthday or the day before his birthday is when the day I saw him. Just last week.
Well, happy birthday, Les. And I hope you're a fan of the New Dad Rock.
2 dads.
Navigating the ages together. Wait, is it navigating? Did I fuck that up?
Navigation. So Primus sucks, man.
That's it. Primus sucks.
You know, I had a bumper sticker on my car. I had a Nissan Sentra with a Primus sucks, and I had a few other bumper stickers, but Primus sucks is maybe my first
one. One of the greatest band taglines ever.
We're the New Dad Rock. Thank you.